All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Grace Bible Church. Today's date is the 14th of June, and my name is Skip Furrow, and the name of this class is what the Bible says about friendship, Christian friendship, from a biblical basis. I want to make sure that all that gets in. But welcome, and thank you all for coming back to the class this morning. Also, thank you all for being first time this morning. We're looking at what the Bible says about friendship, and especially in the wisdom literature of Proverbs. And that's basically where we'll be this morning. Just to introduce the topic for this morning, allow Debbie and I to have a little bit of fun with you, please. Oh, I'll pray first. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for our class, for what we're learning. We pray, Lord, that you will use this study in our own lives, guide everything that's said and done, and Lord, just help me to be able to explain and also for us to be able to discuss it and to come to meaningful applications in our life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Okay.
I had such high hopes for our friendship. What went wrong? I thought I'd finally found someone I could trust.
I can't believe you're questioning my integrity after all the things I've done for you. It's not like I'm the only one who has failed in this relationship. You hurt me too.
You see, this is what you always do. I come to you and you turn the tables on me. You are so good at making other people feel guilty for your failures. The problem with you is that you are much better at recognizing other people's faults than you are your own. You don't have a clue how much you've hurt me. You betrayed our trust when you told them what I said.
You never told me I couldn't say anything about what you shared with me. I didn't know you'd be so sensitive about it.
I thought you cared enough for me that I wouldn't have to tell you not to talk to someone else. I thought our relationship was as important to you as it is to me.
You see, that's the problem. You always act like you are more committed to this relationship than I am. So you watch me like a hawk, just waiting to pounce on me at any hint of failure.
Why does it always have to go here? We can't even have a discussion about the weather without it ending in accusations.
And by the way, this is not an accurate depiction of our marriage. all right. Does that sound familiar? One of the things that we came to last week as I introduced the whole topic of friendship was that the problem with it is, number one, the biblical instruction is it is not an option. It is not an option for a follower of Christ. We are to be part of what it means to be in relationship with the Lord is our relationship with one another. And I want, for those of you that were not here, John 17 brings out the fact that it is the way that people will understand the gospel itself, the very essence of the gospel, that God sent his own son into this world to save sinners, is by the oneness that believers are with one another. And then in John 13, it is the way that describes or will define and calls attention to the fact as to whether we are his children or not. In other words, you know, if you are my disciples, if you love one another. It doesn't say that. But it, by the way, that we love one another displays the genuineness of our faith in Christ. It's our faith in Christ in action. So this is a very, very important topic to the heart of God. Every lesson is going to have a big idea. The big idea last week was that relationships are messy. Therefore, but those messes are part of what God uses in our life to help us to grow. The tension causes us to grow. Sometimes God keeps us in a difficult situation because we want him to just get us out of it, but he uses those difficult situations in our life. The objective this morning is to take a look at the fact that Christian friendship is proactive, not simply reactive, that it is aggressive in cultivating and restoring of relationships, and it is responsible when there's a need for restoration. By the way, did you happen to notice two very key words in the argument that just took place up here?
Always.
Mm-hmm. Let me just ask you to repeat something after me. It's never always true. Say that with me.
It's never always true.
You're never correct when you say you always. Okay? Never. That's the only one qualifying thing that you can say. I got a lot to cover.
God is always good.
Yeah, but we're not talking about him. We're talking about me. Right. So you never, you always, it never works. Okay, so just keep the word never in mind. And you're right, God is always good. That's the part, that's the other part of it.
I was just messing with you.
That's right. I appreciate it. Yeah, but be careful messing with my brain after I played the guitar. All right. Now, so we're going to look at the biblical friendship is proactive. Now, you're at a certain disadvantage for those of you that are first time in here. You may not have gotten the homework sheet, but I asked that last week, and I have that for you, just to meditate on one or more of the love one another passages daily and just be ready to share one thing you can change in your life when we meet again. Does anyone just have a brief testimony of something, how God spoke to your heart from those passages? I want to, and by the way, it's totally up to you, but I did call it, since it's a class, I did call it homework assignments, but there's a homework assignment for every week. And so the sheets are up here with that. But just to meditate in addition to what else you're doing in your devotions, if you will, sometime during the day, like on a daily basis or just a couple times during the week, take a look at the one another passages. Specifically, this week was the love one another, and there's plenty of others. Serve one another. They're all over the place. One another passages are very much a part of the New Testament. And but just in response to this. But yes, very good. And we're going to talk this morning about listening, about the importance of listening, which is something that I think all of us, at least I have a hard time with. But let's dig in. Friendship is intentional. It is proactive. It is responsible. And I even chose to use the word aggressive, not in a negative sense, but in the sense of just asking us to think in terms of not just reacting, but acting and planning and being proactive in resolving relationship issues. And again, yes.
I think a good word is intentional.
Intentional, yes. Intentional is probably a more accurate word. I use the word aggressive just because I wanted to convey the fact that our default mechanism is to implode, to be silent, to be quiet, to talk to someone else about the problem instead of going to the person. So intentional. That is a good word for us to use. It's intentional. Now, let's take a look at it. A few leftovers from last week. We talked about last week, and would someone be ready to read Proverbs 12:25, please? Just have that one ready to go. But Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I love Proverbs 12:25. A good word. Like I asked this last week, how many times in your life have you been in a situation where you felt very despondent, very down, but just a good word, just one word, just a telephone call, just a listening ear, just changed your whole day? Okay, who's got Proverbs 12:25? Thanks, Ezra.
Heaviness in the heart of a man make them stoop, but a good word make them glad.
Yes, heaviness in the heart. Read it again.
Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad.
Makes us stoop. Mm. Have you felt that way? Mm. Just heaviness, yeah. But a good word, the power. Proverbs 25:11, a fitly spoken word is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. And is spoken in the right circumstance. Proverbs 15:1-4, and I want to take the time just to read that again, just either turn there, and we'll be pretty much in the book of Proverbs, so if you'd like to just turn there with me. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A fool despises father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. Just what we say is so dynamically important, and even the way that we say it. Now, let's take a minute, and who will look up these verses? Can I get a volunteer for Proverbs 17:9?
I got it.
All right. Okay, thanks. And Proverbs 19:11. Thanks. Okay, and while you're at Proverbs 17:9, go to number 28 also. All right, keep it to yourself. Protect your friend. All right, what we say, who we say it to, why we say it. And one of the things that we're going to be looking at constantly is our motivation, all right, for saying what we say or for doing what we do. But as far as, now this is actually what I didn't get to last week, all right. So Proverbs 17:9, listen carefully to this verse. Now, what in your words, what is covers up a matter? What does that mean? Anybody want to paraphrase that? What does it mean to cover up something? Yeah. Yes. Yes. What Joseph did with Mary, perfect example. Yes. He could have exposed her, and he thought it was sin. But he could have exposed her. He could have taken advantage of her out of his love. Very good. But repeats a matter. Okay, now listen to Proverbs 17:28. Go ahead and read the next verse, I think. I think the next verse pertains to that, too. Right, cool spirit, okay? All right, now Proverbs 19:11. Now, what we're talking about here, and we're going to see in just a minute, we're not talking about not confronting a sin in a person's life. We're not talking about not caring enough to share with a person, look, I think you're going the wrong direction. You'll see that in a few minutes. But what we are talking about is protecting our friends in who we speak to and what we speak about. That is, when we see a matter in a person's life that we are not repeating it to others, but actually we're going to see in a few moments that in every situation we are to go to the person, whether it's our fault or the other person's fault, go to the person and primarily keep it to yourself, to protect our friends on this. Okay, I hope I'm making sense so far on this. Okay, now these are good, okay? Can I get someone to read Proverbs 26:20 and 16:22? All right, thanks. All right, okay, which you got Proverbs 16:20?
16:22.
16:22, yeah.
And I got 26.
Okay, you got 26:20? Good, okay. All right, I love these verses. Okay. Go ahead, Taylor, with yours, if you will. Okay. I may have written down the wrong verse. Read Proverbs 26:20. And the King James calls it talebearer. Okay, whisperer, I think, is the other one. Talebearer, that's pretty graphic, isn't it? Okay, basically, and I think I might have given you the wrong verse, but the concept there is where there's no wood, the fire goes out. So don't bring the wood to the fire, right? Let me keep on going here, okay? All right, now let's all read this one out loud, okay? Let's all read this one. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, last week I brought out to you, there's actually three Hebrew words that are used for friend. One is the same word we use in the Old Testament for love. Love the Lord with all your heart. The second one sounds like aloof, and it means it's kind of like a familiar friend or a gentle friend. And then thirdly, the word used is the word re'ah, Hebrew word re'ah, and the concept on that is it's used as a companion. It's not as close as the one loved. In this verse, both of those are used. A friend or a companion loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Let's think about this. Proverbs 16:21. Would someone read that one for us? I'm getting you all to read a lot. Someone who hadn't read yet. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, but Debbie and I were getting more and more elevated in our argument. Okay? Can anybody relate to that? You know, now, and this is, we don't want to, I'm tempted to take the time to do this, but you've heard about the circle where you have basically a circle and an accusation, and then you have the feeling of lack of respect, and the lack of respect causes this person's lack of respect and goes down to an accusation, which causes a feeling of lack of respect, which goes back up, and you have this circle where pretty soon you have no idea what you were arguing about. Right now you're fighting about the fight. The goal is to yell louder, to be right, to be in charge, whatever, but we've lost the sweetness of speech. Colossians 4, 6, I'll just reference it for sake of time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Now, how many of you all like salt on your tomatoes? Anybody like salt on watermelon, cantaloupe? Oh, man. Anybody like salt on their eggs? When we fry your eggs, man, I put salt on them and they are awesome. Okay, and by the way, Pastor Rich talks about coffee cup wisdom. There is egg wisdom in every dozen eggs you buy from this man, okay? It is amazing. We have it on our refrigerator. Okay, now let's all turn to 1 John chapter 2, all right? And by the way, I confess to you, I never know when I'm preparing something. I never know if I'm preparing a series or just one lesson. So I'm evaluating as we go how much we get done. But I wanted you to see this, and I'm just going to take just a few minutes, because at every class I want to end the last 5 to 7 minutes with looking at our best friend, the Lord Jesus, because in Him we have the empowerment and the example. So that is my non-negotiable objective for every single class. But let's take a few minutes. I want us to look at verses 12 through 14, and what I want you to notice is various ministry opportunities and different levels of maturity. Now, I don't want you to see this. For instance, Brian, our brother Brian this morning, as I understand it, we just recently saw you get baptized. Pretty new believer, okay? All right? Some of the rest of you, Susie, how long have you known the Lord?
20-something years.
Praise the Lord. Okay, yeah, okay. Okay, all right, more mature in the Lord, okay? One way of looking at this paragraph of Scripture is you have the babies in Christ, you have the old men in Christ, the fathers in Christ, you have the young men in Christ. See it differently, that for every one of us, Brian, you as a new believer are impacting lives already in your life. In that sense, you will see yourself as a father in this. As a new believer, you're in spiritual battle. See yourself as the young warrior that's in this passage, but also see yourself as the little child in Christ. Whereas, Susie, you are definitely in spiritual warfare as a warrior. You're definitely in a position of mentoring and spiritual motherhood, okay? But also see yourself, even though you were saved about 25 years ago, see yourself as a little child in Jesus. What's that?
Don't push it.
Whatever. Okay. May I illustrate it? I told Debbie's mom before we got married, I think, or maybe after we got married, I forget which. I told her, I said, my mom is with the Lord. I haven't had a mom for a long time. I'm adopting you. Oh, glory. The woman likes to cook. I like to eat. She loves me. Okay. I'm on her good side. Okay. Oh, sure. No, absolutely. I'm not even making pretense. Yeah, of course. But no, she's so much fun. But I like having a mom. Is anybody, other guys in here like being mothered? Yeah, I like it. I like it. She makes me food. Now, my wife is an incredible cook, but every once in a while it's kind of fun to have a mom again, all right? And so see yourself as a little, enjoy the little child aspect of your relationship with Christ. So with that in mind, I'm writing to you little children. How many of you know Christ as Savior? You've trusted Christ. You're God's little child. Jesus uses this of His disciples, little children. He calls His disciples little children and does anything to it because your sins are forgiven you for His namesake. I'm writing to you fathers. Brian, there are people looking at you. You're influencing, you're impacting people because you've known who is from the beginning, okay? They're looking at others in this room, but they're also watching you, okay? I'm writing young men because you've overcome the evil one. Ezra, you're a teenager, you know Christ, you're in a battle. I'm writing young men, fight the fight, man. Taylor, you're a young man in Christ, but your dad is a young man in Christ too. We're in a spiritual battle, okay? I'm writing to you little children, that's another word, infants, because you know the Father. I write to you fathers because you know Him who's from the beginning. I write to young men because you're strong and the Word of God abides on you and you've overcome the evil one. In every situation, there are opportunities for ministry where we are ministering and being ministered to. All right? And so with that in mind, that's where the intentional aspect of our ministry needs to take place, our friendship with others. I think this is, now Proverbs 18:14. If someone could read that for me real quick, Proverbs 18:14. And I apologize for saying real quick. I'm just trying to stuff so much in. Proverbs 18:14. Go ahead, Ezra. Yeah. You listen carefully to this verse. Right. A wounded spirit, a crushed spirit. I'm going to go back to Proverbs 17, the hope, the adversity. A brother is born for adversity, right? It could be a death in the family. It could be a setback in health or finances. It could be a faltering faith. It could be a besetting sin. The person is in adversity. It may be their fault. It may be someone else's fault. It may be the circumstances of their life, okay? The church of Galatians, Paul said to them in love but firmly, who has bewitched you? Those are strong words, very strong words. They were starting to go in a different doctrinal direction that was not correct. They were in adversity, if you will. John the Baptist in Luke 7:20, I think we see John the Baptist struggling with doubt. I've been there. Have you? Doubt. Are you the Messiah or not? I thought I knew what I was doing here, you know? His heart is crushed. That happens. 1 John 3:19-21, this we know, and by this we know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before Him. Evidently, there is a need in the Christian experience where our hearts need to be reassured. All right? Whenever our heart condemns us, has your heart ever condemned you? Just condemning you. All right? Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. In ministering to people, being a friend, there's first of all the need for sincerity and to be authentic. Do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy, nor desires delicacies, for he is like one who inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Sincerity and authenticity is the key here. Proverbs teaches us to be sincere and authentic in our friendships. Proverbs 11:13. Oh, by the way, could I get someone to read Proverbs 18:8 and 26:22?
I've got 26.
Okay, great. Yeah, it'd be good to have. Okay. I'll be ready in just a minute for that. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. In Proverbs, and we're talking about how to minister to others, Proverbs 26:18-19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. I just hope I have not made another typographical error. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. Yeah, Proverbs 26. We can hurt people so desperately in verse 23. Like the glaze covering of an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. Wow, is that a powerful verse. I'm going to read it again. Like the glaze covering over the earthen vessel. What you have is a clay pot, but it's got a glaze on it. And boy, that looks fantastic, but it's nothing but just clay underneath. It are fervent lips with an evil heart. If I can share just a quick example, and I'm just saying this to my own shame. Several years ago when I was, actually this goes, I was, and I could sure, certainly think of more contemporary, but I'll go way back. I was a youth pastor in Roanoke, Virginia, and this teenager was in a car accident, and I went to go see him at the hospital, and I said, I'll be praying for you. And I mean, I'm just being honest with you. You know, I went back to see him, and I thought, I hadn't prayed for him. It was terrible. You know, and so what I've learned is if I say I'm going to pray for you, we're going to pray right now. Exactly. You know, we don't have to be anywhere special. Just pray right now. just talk. Hey, come on, let's go to the Lord right now where we are in the car or whatever. So now listen to these verses. Proverbs 18:8. Who's got that one? Okay.
The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down in the inner parts of the body.
Yeah. Yeah, why do we want to share it? And why do we want to hear it? Listen to Proverbs 26:22. Does anybody else in here have an issue with sweet rolls? Cinnamon rolls? I'm pretty good. I'm pretty disciplined. But if I smell cinnamon rolls, it's like, ooh, it's all over. Okay. All right. Yeah, the temptation. Ooh, that sounds juicy. Tell me more.
Yeah.
I'll be praying about it. Okay. Yeah. That's what we've got to watch. Sincerity. Everyone say the word sincerity.
Sincerity.
Okay. Appropriate. Now, yeah, we're out of time. I'll just touch base on this really quick. Proverbs 25:11, a fitly spoken word. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is one who takes off a garment on a cold day or like vinegar on soda. What happens when you pour vinegar on soda? It's a good way to unclog your drain. It is. Yeah, it works. Pour baking soda down your drain and pour vinegar down. It's better than Drano because it burns, but it explodes. Okay. When a heart is heavy, there is an appropriate time. There's an appropriate time to listen. Just don't say anything. Just be there. Just be there. And that's one of the things I do want to discuss. When there's grief, when there's just the hopelessness, when there's a crushed spirit, at what point do you just be quiet and just be there? At what point do you say something, and what should you say, and how should you say it? I'll just say this very quickly. I think sometimes in a time of grief, what a person who is there at the scene with a person of grief, what they want to do is to feel better. Like this person is crushed, and there's a feeling inside of I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. So I'm gonna say something to make me feel better. Okay? Instead of just go through that grief with them. You know, when I pastored in West Virginia, there was a family. They had a very irresponsible daughter who had two babies with two different men, neither one of which she was married to. Both the babies, because of some kind of a chronic condition, both those babies were born with a condition that they would only live a few months. And I watched these grandparents go through losing two grandsons. Okay, it was very easy for me, and I don't think I did. Go into the hospital room and say, everything's going to be fine. The baby's going to heaven. It won't be fine. The baby is in heaven. Both babies, I'm sure, are in heaven. But it's not going to be fine. This is going to affect them for the rest of their life. And the need then is, if need be, let me just cry with you. You know, I want to get to my most special part, okay? We'll get back to this next week, okay? Intentional, proactive, having a teachable spirit. A friend loves at all time, but a brother is born for adversity. Straits, travails, distress. Okay, our Savior, because we're out of time. Okay. And please save the comments. I'm not disregarding them at all. Our Savior, our best friend. Our Savior in Matthew 11:19 was a friend to publicans and sinners. And again, how many of you are thankful that Jesus loves sinners?
Amen.
I qualify. Yeah, okay. Luke 15, I love this. We see the example of our Father. We see, in Jesus telling this parable, we see Jesus. We see Jesus displaying the heart of God. The shepherd searched and valued the lost sheep. He intentionally went after that sheep that was lost. He went to great sacrifice. He valued that sheep. The woman searched the house and valued the coin. You got nine more. Who cares? No. This one I've got to find. She swept the house until she found the coin. And then something we miss about the prodigal son parable, the father ran to the youngest son, but the father also went out of the house to the older son. Now, we like to emphasize the younger son, but really, I think a big part of Luke 15 is the older son. That's the issue. Because he represented the publicans and the self-righteous people that were watching on. And one of the big things that Jesus was driving at was the story ends with that son still being outside the house. We never see the end. We never see him come in. Now, the one who messed up and returned, he's in. But the one who stayed and messed up, didn't know he messed up, would admit it, stayed outside. And so, but the point is, in both cases, the heart of God is seen as he goes out to them. He goes out to them. And that's why when it's your fault, you know, you're worshiping, you bring your gift to the altar, Jesus says, and you realize your brother's got something against you. If it's your fault, go to him, Jesus says. If the other person's fault, they have sinned against you, go to them. Okay? In 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. They're not obeying, not submitting. Encourage the faint-hearted. Some believers are just easily discouraged, and they never really quite get through it. And we've all been there, haven't we? Okay? And help the weak, those that are without strength. Be patient, long-suffering with them all. In every situation, this takes ministering to people. Matthew 11:28, Jesus came to us and he says to us, come. Now, it's interesting. That's an interesting word. It seems to imply come and keep coming. Just keep on coming. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and the promise is I will give you rest. Jesus says, just keep on coming. And I believe that's part of, he's a great example of friendship in our life. The big idea that I wanted you to get from this is the word proactive, or just taking the action. And it in grieving, or in the person, and we'll discuss Galatians 6:1 hopefully next week, where we go to the person with compassion and with humility, and our goal is the restoration. Our goal is restoration of the individual. But the main idea that I want you to see from this is, who can we minister to today? And there was a lady in the church that I grew up in, back in Alexandria, Virginia, and I can still picture her, and I can picture where she sat. And one time a visitor was sitting in her pew, and you know the rest of the story. She told that visitor that was her pew and they need to move. Okay? Remember, if you will, when you go upstairs, how many of us are in ministry?
I am.
Okay, all of us are in ministry. Look for someone to be ministered to this morning. Look for someone, that's Rich's job.
Please don't do that.
No, that's not, his job is to minister to us so that we do the work of the ministry. All right? Look for opportunities to be intentional about, and I don't care if you use the word, have the word aggressive. It'll be my fault for using it. Put the word aggressive in the back of your mind. But go to them. Minister to them. I think it was you, Ezra, but the first time my son and daughter-in-law visited this church, they said a real friendly young man came up and said, hi, who are you? And it has to be you. It has to be you, okay? Ezra doesn't let any stone be unturned in this church. Okay, good example. Let no man despise your youth. Good job. All right? Intentional. That's the point of this morning. And then go back and now your homework assignment for this morning. All right? And there's the homework sheets are up here if you can grab one. Read one another passages listed below and meditate on changes that can be made in your relationship with others. Romans 12:16 and Romans 15. And the one another passage is in verses 5 through 7, but the whole paragraph of 1 through 7 is really a classic section. Thank you all for being here this morning. I'm thoroughly enjoying teaching this class. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and what we're learning today. In Jesus' name, amen.